Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27.
Pure and unblemished religion in the sight of God the Father is this: to visit and look after the fatherless and widows in their distress. That's James 1:27 from the Amplified Bible. I'm Sandra Flack, Executive Director of Justice for Orphans Ministry. Welcome to Orphans No More. My guest today is New Jersey foster and adoptive mom and blogger at Foster the Family blog. Welcome, Jamie C.
Hi, Sandra. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. Jamie, you and your husband, Alan, have two biological kids, ages 8 and 5. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know this already. This is for the benefit of our listeners. Two daughters adopted through foster care, ages 3 and 2. And you're presently fostering two babies, a 9-month-old and a 7-month-old. Now, that's like 6 kids under the age of 8. 4 of them under the age of 3. I asked you earlier, yeah, do you sleep? And you said you do, so I'm impressed.
But you it's a house full. And even by the state standards, we are technically at capacity. You cannot have more than 6 children. And my physical limitations and capacity is no more than 6 children as well. So.
Wow. So you're a busy mom. We know that. But let me ask you, with two biological children, what led you and Alan to become foster parents?
Well, I have to say that verse that you read at the beginning was really a huge part of it. We have both been Christians our whole lives and had always served in our church and always really wanted to devote our lives to following God. But we just became convicted. What does it look like to actually live our lives up, spend our lives up to serve His kingdom? And so we came across that verse, I mean, one that we had already known, but we had sort of checked orphan care off the list with giving donations and small things we did here and there. But that verse talks about visiting and looking after. And we were just convicted that a big part of caring for orphans has to be actually knowing them and loving on them and visiting, looking after. This isn't just about sending money, which of course is a huge part of it, using our resources. But we really felt like God was calling us to be more hands-on. Mm-hmm. So our prayers really changed to, okay, God, You have called us to orphan care. We know that. Every Christian is called, you know, if we want undefiled religion, well, this is what it looks like. It looks like caring for widows and orphans. So how do You want us to do that? And the answer for us was to become foster parents. So
that, yeah, you can't get much more hands-on than becoming foster parents. So how long have you been fostering?
We've been foster parents for 3 years. You know, it takes a little while to get licensed.
Yeah.
And once your heart is in it, oh man, we were all in. I wanted to have a child in my home the next day.
Wow.
But it took a little while to get licensed. And so it's been 3 years, and we've had a little over 10 kids in and out of our home, and obviously 2 who have stayed and will stay forever. So
just for our listeners who might not be familiar with that process, part of the process to become a foster parent is connecting with either your county agency or another foster care placing agency.
Right.
There's classes. I don't know what they, you're in New Jersey. I don't know what they call them in New Jersey. In New York, they're called the MAP classes.
Okay. They're actually called Pride in New Jersey. And New Jersey's a little different than some other states because your only option is to go through the state, so we don't have any private agencies for foster care. But for us, it's as simple as going online and searching out. So here in New Jersey, it's called FAF, and they will connect you to an interest meeting. From the interest meeting, you get connected to a resource worker, and they walk you through the process of the home study, of the training. There's 3 to 5 interviews in your home. you know, I always joke that my home was apparently unsafe, even though I already had two children, because we had to change a lot of things in our home to get it up to the state standards. And so for us, it was about a 6-month process. And I loved our worker. I loved our recruiter in the process. And so I think there's kind of a stigma with the state of getting involved, but I have not experienced that at all. And it's really been a joy. And there are people who have advocated for our kids, for our family. So we really appreciate them. It's DCPMP in New Jersey.
Okay. And I know here in New York, and it is, depending on where you're listening from, go to your state, state.gov, whatever right. your state is, and find out what the process is, because it varies mm-hmm. a little bit, you know, state to state. I know in New York, even though the state oversees the whole foster care system, it's actually in New York, when children come into foster care, they become in the custody of the county that they reside in.
Right. Okay.
And then so either the counties do the foster parent training and certification, and you can foster through your county. But we also have private placement agencies. So when a county okay. doesn't have enough families, they kind of reach out to these other agencies. So families here have the option of either going through their county or going through another placement agency, but the state does oversee the whole okay. the whole process. So anybody who's listening, if you are interested in becoming a foster parent, look into your state, look into your county, depending on where you live, and find out the process. But it always includes background checks,
right.
home visits, classes to just train you on the process and the system, and really the special needs of the children that come in, because they've come in mm-hmm. from a place of loss and trauma. And it takes a little bit special parenting training and skills to parent these kids, because they're really coming from a hard place and are wounded, no fault of their own. So you need some training to understand how that works. So you became became foster parents, and you guys have been doing that for about 3 years. You've had children, about 10 kids in and out. Mm-hmm. But you were able to actually adopt two of them, because we said at the top, your two daughters are 3 years old and two-year-old, and they were among those 10 that came into your home. You formally were able to adopt them in December, but you're still fostering, correct?
Yeah. I mean, for us, people get into foster care and adoption for different reasons. For us, it was always just about sending up our lives for the kingdom of God and doing everything we could to give a home to a child. So we were only ever planning on bringing one child, you know, having one child at a time, but it just kept always feeling like there's such a great need. We have so much to give. We have this home. We have this healthy family, and we have so much to give. It's hard to not reach capacity when I think, oh, there's just so much to do. Our girls, actually one of our adopted daughters was my very first placement.
Oh.
We didn't even have an intention of adoption, but within 2 weeks, even though she was still supposed to go home up until almost the very end, it looked like a reunification case, but we quickly fell in love with her and quickly realized that we would love to adopt.
Hmm.
So it happened sort of against our plans, against what we expected, but God had a different plan. So she was our first placement, and a few months later, we got another little girl. So my adopted sister's daughters look like biological sisters, but they're not.
Wow.
And so within a few months, they both came into our home. They were with us for about 2 years, and they became our forever daughters in December, December 1st.
Good happy ending. They have a forever
yeah.
family.
Yeah.
And you're currently fostering two babies.
That's
and
right.
You've got some really amazing testimony about them. So share with us what you can about the two
yeah.
babies.
Yeah, so we, again, never planned on getting a fifth, let alone a sixth child, but we got a call for a little boy who was born addicted and was in the NICU, and his mom had signed away her rights in the hospital. So he was laying in the hospital an orphan essentially. And that pulled on my heart in a different way, knowing that there was a little boy in the hospital and there was no one visiting him, no one holding him. So it was always supposed to be a short-term case, shorter term than it ended up being, which happens often. But he was supposed to be with us for a few months while they set up a family member in another state who was going to step in for him. And it was a challenging few months for me because I love him. I love caring for him. And I was very uncomfortable with the situation he was going to. And that's the reality of being a foster parent. You know, you're working to reunify broken families. So that means that often it's not going to be fully fixed and it's going to be different than you would hope and expect. But this situation I was very saddened by and very uncomfortable with. And so after him visiting many times and spending time there, he was going to be saying goodbye to us. And 2 days before he was supposed to leave us forever, the social worker called and said, I just can't overlook these concerns anymore. She had many of the same concerns that I did, and that family member was ruled out. The thing that I didn't mention that was happening at the same time was one of my good friends of 15 years had watched him for a short period while we needed respite care. She wasn't a foster parent, but she was willing to help, and the state approved her to have him for 3 days. And she brought him back after those 3 days, and she was in tears, how much she loved him, how much her husband, who was really against the idea of even him coming for the 3 days, had fallen in love with him, how much her daughters had fallen in love with him. And I kind of thought, oh, that's sweet, but, well, he's going to be adopted by someone else. And she started asking if she could babysit him regularly and asked if she could be, you know, the person who helps me when I need someone. And he started spending time there, and they really just fell in love with him in a unique way that only God could have created. It is not normal to fall in love with a child the way that they did. But now I know that God was placing that love in their hearts in that unique way because he planned for him to be their forever son. Mm. So once the family member was ruled out, I brought my friend's name, again, who wasn't even a foster parent yet, to the division, and they moved forward with her as the adoptive parent. So he spends weekends there. He's there right now. He spends a good amount of time there. And they should have him in their home and be moving forward with adoption in the next 2 months or so. So
wonderful
story.
That's
another unusual bumps on the road, but very happy ending. That's such a blessing. And it's really been a gift to participate in that and just feel like I was a part of this beautiful story of God creating a family. And so, and then my other baby is a 7-month-old. She is actually a twin, and she was in the hospital for 4 months because she was so premature and had so many needs. And I got a call about her, and I said, well, I have this baby. I can't take twin babies and also have another infant. And there was another foster mom who basically said the same thing. The state had spent weeks calling around. I had seen it come up on different support groups, and no moms were able to step up. And, you know, they needed a stay-at-home mom. They needed a mom who felt like she could handle all the hard work and sleepless nights of preemie twins with special needs. And so it came to them splitting up the babies. And it's a sad thing. For me, I mean, I love her like she's my daughter, but she has this twin sister that's a part of her, and they've been separated. And really, the reason I bring that story up is, you know, when people hear about it, their eyes fill up and they say, oh, I would take them. But it's not a hypothetical situation, which is why they see it that way, when the reality is there are siblings, there are twins, you know, there are brothers and sisters in everyone's community who are being separated because there aren't homes to take siblings. And I think that that's one of the most heartbreaking realities for me as a foster parent is my kids, man, when they're apart for a day, they crave each other. And so it's just so sad to me that sometimes siblings have to be separated because there aren't homes or families that are willing to take them.
Yes. And so there's a great need in every state for foster parents who are willing to take siblings and and children with special needs overall. That's a huge need. And not everybody feels called to that. But I think everybody should pray about that. We have a story here that we're just loving on about a family that came to one of our Justice for Orphans events that we hosted last year, last May. It was a foster care focused event, and a local pastor gave a testimony because he and his wife adopted a premature baby, not through the foster care system, but through a crisis pregnancy center. So this baby was orphaned in the NICU, needing a family, and his family adopted this little boy. They adopted, and he gave a testimony about that. And in the audience of our event, there was another pastor and his wife. They have a heart for the orphan. They had already adopted. They have three children adopted from Korea, biological kids as well. And they heard that story, and the Lord just put upon their hearts that that's what he wanted them to do. So 9 months later, a baby girl is born, not into foster care. She wasn't in foster care, but she was in the neonatal intensive care unit on the other side of New York State. And she was born with major, she was born early, and the young mom had never gone for any prenatal care. So she had a lot of issues at birth that required immediate surgery. So within the first 3 weeks of her life, she had two major surgeries. She was in the intensive care unit at a hospital without a mom or a dad. And the nurses are wonderful. NICU nurses are wonderful people, and they really care about the babies that they're caring for, but they're not mom and dad. So there was no mom and dad watching over this little one. And you know, the adoption agency, Christian adoption agency, going down through the list of parents to call, you know, there's a baby, she needs a family. This family, 9 months earlier, had decided this is what God wants us to do. They said yes to this baby. So on Valentine's Day, they actually, this last month in February, they went and they met her for the very first time. So since February 14th, she has had parents. She's still in the NICU, hopefully coming home soon, has had another surgery. But now she has a mom and a dad, and every child deserves a mom and a dad, a safe, loving, forever family. So it's a huge, huge calling, and it's the heart of God.
Right. Right. Yeah. Wow. What an incredible story. And I think that that's part of what's broken my heart. You know, I take a lot of NICU babies because I'm a stay-at-home mom, and knowing that they had been, you know, when I go to the doctor, I'm afraid, knowing that they had been in the NICU without the comfort of a parent is heartbreaking to me. What a beautiful story.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking, but God's people, you know, rise up and become his hands and feet and love on these children. So I just want to remind our listeners, this is Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. To contact us or to learn more about adoption, foster care, or orphan ministry, you can visit our website at justicefororphansny.org. My guest today is New Jersey foster and adoptive mom, Jamie C. Jamie advocates for foster children and encourages foster parents through her blog, fosterthefamilyblog.com. It's one mom's lighthearted musings and heavier broodings on foster care, gospel-centered parenting, and mission-focused family. So, Jamie, your blog is a primary part of your ministry with over 9,000 subscribers the first year. You've only been doing this for a year. So tell us about this part of your ministry.
Yeah, that's right. It's something that I always like to remind myself and others that I could have never created on my own. It's something that God did, and I'm grateful for that. He gets all the glory for it because if I was the greatest writer in the world or the most strategic ministry leader in the world, I could have never done this. So I'm grateful to God for this opportunity and privilege. So I was contacted by a friend at church who asked me to write something for a church newsletter that he was hoping to get started. And so I wrote it, and he came back to me and was just very encouraging. But the newsletter didn't happen. So I decided to take what I had written and just post it online. I thought, I'll do this little foster care blog, and maybe some people in my church will be encouraged. And so I posted it online, and it went viral. Wow. Within about a week, millions of people had seen it, and wow, it was shocking to me. And so it kind of fell in my lap as, okay, God, you created this. What do you want me to do with it? So my primary goal in writing is to really help people see the face of foster care. So I think that, you know, we're called to speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. And these kids really fall under some of the most voiceless, faceless people because they're right there in our communities, and yet they're so easily ignored, so easily overlooked. So part of my heart was to just show, like I said, my twin girl, I knew that I would get hundreds of people saying, oh, this is heartbreaking, I'll take her. Well, all they needed was a face to a story. Mm-hmm. And of course, I can't show the entire face, but to hear the story and to know this is a real child who needs to be with her sister and needs a mom. And so I saw the power, even just in my own life, of people coming in contact with my children and the power of meeting these children and hearing their stories and getting to know them in compelling people to get involved. So my first goal was just to inspire people to get involved in foster care and adoption. And then it's also become a way that I seek to encourage other foster and adoptive parents. So I am not an expert at all about anything, but I'm a few years into this journey, and I've had different kids in my home. And so I share my experiences and share some of the things that God has taught me. And I've found that it's encouraged other people as well. So the blog has sort of evolved a little bit into other ministry opportunities. So I speak with the state a few times a month. I am involved in recruiting events. I actually was just in Trenton, our capital, at the main offices speaking to the workers about engaging with foster parents. There's been many opportunities there. And then we've created an online community for foster and adoptive parents. People were contacting me as if I'm an expert and asking questions that I didn't want to answer with an expert opinion. And so I created a context where they can ask each other, where foster and adoptive parents can connect with each other, ask questions, receive encouragement. And then more recently, we're going into some more hands-on service. So we are creating journey bags for children. So that's when they're removed from their homes, they will receive a duffel bag that will have, first of all, their items can be placed in the bag instead of a black garbage bag, which is what you often see happen. And the bag will also be full of some items that will serve those children in feeling like, okay, I own something. This mm-hmm. is mine. I'm coming into this home with things, my own toothbrush or this teddy bear. So things that will comfort and really help them feel like they belong. So those are some of the new things that have been going on. Like you said, it's only a year old, less than a year old. So I'm just constantly looking, okay, God, what do you have for this? How do you want to use it? And those are the answers to that question right now. So
wonderful. So, Jamie, as we wrap up here, what is on your heart that you really want our listeners to take away from our conversation today?
I guess there would be two things. To those who are listening but have not yet brought a child into your home through foster care or adoption, there is such a great need. These are precious children created by God, loved by God. And it's really a privilege to be used by God to be their parents, to give them a home, to love on them for as long as they need us. So I would encourage you to pray, to read, to ask, and to look for how you may be involved in these children's lives. And then for those of us who are foster or adoptive parents, something that God is just really encouraging me with recently is just how eternal what we're doing is. It is so mundane. I have lots of little, so the diapers and the bottles, tantrums, behaviors, trauma, all the things that we deal with are so small in the day-to-day. But God is really using what we do, whether we care for a child for 2 days or whether they're our child forever. It is an eternal calling that we have. These are souls that we're affecting. This is something that we're doing for God's kingdom forever. So I would just encourage you, lift your eyes to his eternal plan, away from the mundane tasks and onto what God has created here, these precious children, and your sacred relationship with them.
So. Good words, Jamie. Thank you so much for joining us today and for your work advocating for foster kids and encouraging foster parents.
Thank you, Sandra. It was really a privilege. Thank you so much.
Oh, I was honored. And if you are a foster parent looking for encouragement and a community of support, be sure to visit Jamie's blog. Subscribe to it. It's at fosterthefamilyblog.com. We hope you enjoyed today's show. And if you'd like to hear more episodes of Orphans No More, you can find them all on our website at justicefororphansny.org. Just click on radio show and choose a show from the menu to listen to. You can also help us continue our radio ministry by giving a tax-deductible gift to Justice for Orphans. We are an all-volunteer-run 501c3 and rely on your support to continue to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless. I'm your host, Sandra Flack, and I'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to schedule me to speak at your church or event, you can contact me at our website again. That is justicefororphansny.org.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.